Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And may God help us today. Let's take the Word of God. We will go to Psalm chapter number 23. Psalm chapter 23. Many weeks ago, I began to go through the book of Psalm, or through Psalm chapter 23. And it has taken weeks upon weeks to talk about our shepherd. And you know, in a day and time in which we are living, we need to understand that if you're a child of God, you have a heavenly shepherd who leads you, who guides you, who wants to direct your path. And may God help us today to understand He is our shepherd. Well, we've journeyed through this, and we are now in the last verse of Psalm 23. We have this message and one more message left. And let's just read it again together this morning. Psalm chapter 23, and let's begin in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And then would you notice verse number 6? The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we understand that David is the psalmist here, but David is speaking as a shepherd. David was physically a shepherd when he was much younger. We know that Psalm chapter 23 was written at the end of David's life, and almost as a testimony of what God has done for David, David is speaking about. And David says in the last part of verse number 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David, in a sense, is saying, all of my life, God's goodness and God's mercy has followed me. And I'm confident all the way to my death, all the way to the house of the Lord, goodness and mercy will follow me. Folks, today, what a comfort to know. You know, the truth is, if we look back on 2020, we might say, Pastor, goodness and mercy has not followed us, but fear and anxiety and dissension and contention, that's what seems to have followed us. But I want you to bear in mind today that no matter what has happened in our society, God's goodness and mercy is following after you and me. And today I want to preach to you this subject. The shepherd gives goodness and mercy. Would you join me in a word of prayer right now? And let's ask the Lord for His blessing. And let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time in the service, the most important time, as we look into the precious Word of God, Lord, I ask You to quiet our hearts even now. Lord, maybe things we are thinking about, things from this week, things we must do. Lord, may we, by Your help, lay all that aside. And Father, may we allow You to do a work today. Lord, we want to thank You right now for Your goodness and mercy. And Lord, at times when we cannot see them, may we be reminded today that they are there. And Father, thank You that You love us. Thank You that Your mercy and goodness is always about us. Help me to preach today. Father, I need You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase before? The best is yet to come. All of us have heard that. Maybe a special time in your life. Whatever it may be. A special anniversary. A special gift. The best is yet to come. You know, as we journey through the book of Psalms, and specifically this chapter, I want to say the best is yet to come. And doesn't mean that our days now are not good and that God's goodness is not there. But with the Lord, He becomes sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And with our Savior, He becomes greater and greater. Oh, He is great. His greatness is unsearchable. But our understanding of His greatness grows day by day. And as we've come to the very end of this psalm, verse number 6, there is so much in this verse. We understand that the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let's think about David just for a little bit. David had a lot of trials, did he not? David had heartache. David had family problems and family issues. He had men that were trying to hunt after David to kill him. He was lied about. He was misunderstood. He was misrepresented. He was denied blessings from people. But David said, as I look back over my life, I can see God's goodness and I can see God's mercy. And he says, surely I am confident that throughout the rest of my earthly pilgrimage here on this earth, His goodness and mercy will follow me. Today, as we think of this subject, the shepherd gives us goodness and he gives us mercy. Folks, by God's grace, in spite of a sin-cursed world that we live in today. And by the way, If you watch any news or hear about anything, it can become quite disturbing, can it not? It can become quite discouraging as we look at our country. But in the midst of everything, I want you to be reminded that His goodness and mercy are following after you all the days of your life. Not just for some days. Not just the days when you first got saved. Not just the days when we can think of God's blessing and His goodness. Not just the days when we think, boy, God has really been good to me lately. God promises us. He gives us a certainty that His goodness and His mercy will follow us all the days of our life. In fact, it reminds me what the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter number 68. Let me read it to you. It says in verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." You know what God does to us day by day? He loads us with benefits. My dad, when we were just kids, and sometimes when my mom was sick, and in the mornings, of course, we would have to get our lunches ready. And my dad always wanted to help us make our lunches. We didn't like Dad helping us with our lunches. Mom just had a way to do it. I mean, the sandwich was cut perfectly. I think she got a tape measure out and knew where to cut it in the center. And everything was laid on there. It just tasted better when Mom made it. You know when my dad made it? My dad would put 6 pieces of ham on there, you know? He would put enough lettuce to make a salad with on the sandwich, you know? He would put as many chips as you could get in a Ziploc bag, you know? There was not one more chip that could get in there. But my dad, his heart was right because my dad was loading us with benefits. My dad was saying, hey, I want you all to have as much as you can have. He loads us with benefits. But I want you to know something. Our God is greater than any father that you could ever imagine. And the Bible says that He daily, not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, but daily loads us with benefits. Why? Because the shepherd gives us goodness and He gives us mercy. Number one, I want you to notice in Psalm 23 verse 6, we find His promise to us. There's a promise. Now folks, I remember the day that I got saved. Do you remember the day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you remember the time when you accepted Him? By the way, as I begin this message, if there has never been a time in your life when you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know something. You're not here by accident today. God brought you here. He wants you to hear the truth of His Word. And He wants you to put your faith and trust in Him. Because Jesus is the only way. There are not many ways to heaven. There is one way. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." I remember the day that I got saved. I lived in Knoxville, Tennessee at the time. And there in September of 1993, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But can I tell you what happened that day? There were many things that happened. I was brought into the family of God. God became my Heavenly Father that day. I became His child for all of eternity. My home is now in heaven. But there's something else that happened. It was almost on that day when I got saved that the Lord said to His 2 servants, do you know that God has many servants, but 2 of them are named Goodness and Mercy. They are known as heavenly companions. And God said to His servants, Goodness and Mercy, hey, follow Him all the days of His life. Follow Him. Pursue after Him. In fact, I know of a preacher of years gone by that had 2 old coon dogs, all right? Now, if you're going to have a dog, a coon dog's a good dog to have, all right? But he had some coon dogs, and he named them Goodness and Mercy. He said that so often when he would walk outside and go to the barn, he'd look back and there was those dogs following him, and he said, there's Goodness and there's Mercy. It's a great picture of what God does for you and me. Now, folks, I know what you may think. Pastor, my life has not been filled or my life has not been goodness and mercy following me. It has been trouble and anxiety. It has been heartache. But I want you to know that God has promised to you that He will allow goodness and His mercy to follow you all the days of your life. You know, in fact, we see this theme throughout the Bible. You're there in Psalm chapter number 23, but would you go with me to Psalm 100, all right? Psalm chapter number 100. And I want to show you a couple of things about His goodness and His mercy. By the way, this word surely is a pretty special word. The Lord says surely. Now, I might say to you, surely I'll be there. Or surely I'll take care of something, but honestly, I may give my word, but something may happen beyond my control that I could not keep that promise. In fact, you could say to someone, I'll always be around, but one day death is coming and you cannot keep that promise. But God always keeps His promises. And the Lord says, surely. Now, there's a twofold meaning to that word there, surely. The first meaning is, it's a meaning of confidence. It's a meaning of certainty. For instance, my wife and I will celebrate 22 years of being married this coming Friday. It's our wedding anniversary. And I think my wife has earned the martyr's crown by now, right? After 22 years, no doubt about it. And I thank God for her. And I'll just be honest with you, it's gotten better and better every single day. It really has. And you know, the truth is, I could tell my wife, honey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you for, you know, the next 50, 60 years. But I don't know that. I have made a promise to her that I will be faithful to her until death do us part. But folks, I don't know about death. I don't know when death is coming. And I do not know all the circumstances of life. But when God makes a promise, He says, surely. I promise you, based on the authority of my word, which God cannot lie, God says, surely, goodness and mercy, I will promise you that they will follow you all the days of your life. Now, the problem with most of us, including myself, is we don't recognize His goodness and His mercy. We do not see His goodness and mercy. But throughout the Bible, we find this theme. Look in Psalm 100, verse number 5. The Bible says this, for the Lord is good. He is good today. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Boy, what a great verse. The Lord is good, and His mercy, the Bible says, His mercy is everlasting. There is His goodness and His mercy. Would you go to Psalm 106? You're there in Psalm chapter 100. Go to chapter 106. Psalm chapter 106. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. There it is again. He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Go to Psalm chapter 136. Now, I'm not going to show you every place that this is mentioned in the Bible, but there is a theme throughout God's Word that the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is everlasting. Folks, I want you to be confident today that God has a promise. His promise is to you. And the promise is, no matter where you go, no matter what is happening in the world, God's goodness and His mercy pursue after us. I know that in the last few months, it has been hard to be hopeful. It has been hard to have a good spirit about everything going on around us. The pandemic and the rioting and all the different things happening. We see so much wrong, do we not? And it's so hard to think, Lord, where is the future of America? What is it going to be like for my children and my, you know, grandchildren and for generations to come? What is it going to be like? And if we're not careful, we can think, God, where is your goodness and mercy? But I want you to know that He has a promise to us at Grace Baptist Church, and He has a promise to you individually as His child, that He says to you, my goodness and my mercy I will not withhold from you. They will follow you all the days of your life. Psalm 136, verse number 1 says again, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." David says, surely, the Bible says, surely His goodness and His mercy. Now, how could David be so confident at the end of his life? How could David say, I want you to know something. There is no doubt about it. I can speak with confidence. I can speak as an older man. In fact, David in one part said, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David says, I'm going to tell you something. I'm an old man now, and not once have I seen God forsake His children. Not once have I seen God not give His goodness and His mercy. How could David say, surely, surely the goodness and the mercy of the Lord shall follow me all the days of my life? Because David had tested God's goodness. David had tested God's mercy. He, and throughout his experiences in life, he recognized that God had never failed him. I want you to know something this morning. Our God is a trustworthy God. You can trust Him. You can depend upon Him. In fact, aren't you glad today to know that God's faithfulness to us is not measured by our faithfulness to Him? Aren't you glad to know that God's goodness to you is not measured by our goodness to God? You know what? That's kind of how we live in life. We think, well, you know what? I've been really good to this person, and they're probably going to be good back to me. Well, I wouldn't count on that. But you know something? God does not treat us that way. His goodness to us is not measured and not given to us based on our goodness to Him. The mercy that maybe we would have on other people. God does not measure His mercy to us. His goodness and His mercy will follow us all the days of our life. In fact, there is a twofold meaning to this, as I've told you. The word surely means confidence. There's a promise there, but there is something else. I want you to take your Bibles and let's go to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 42. Genesis chapter number 42. The second meaning of the word surely is what many Bible teachers believe the word to also mean only. Now I love this. I love this that there is a certainty about it. There is a promise that His goodness and mercy, God has said, will follow us all the days of our life, even during the dark days. Even during the days of discouragement, the days of despair, even during the times when we don't know what the future holds, His goodness and His mercy is promised by God Almighty to follow us all the days of our life. But there is a second meaning to the word surely. It means only. Let's think of that. David says, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I know what you may think. You may think, Pastor, I don't know that I agree with that statement. Pastor, my life has been filled with lots of sorrow, lots of discouragement. Pastor, I've had hopes that have been dashed and dreams that have not been fulfilled. Pastor, I had good friends that have forsaken me. I've had this happen and that happen and the death of my wife and the death of my husband and the death of a child. Pastor, I don't know that I can say goodness and mercy have followed me. But there is a promise here that only goodness and mercy. God did not say that we would live this life without heartache and without sorrow. Just look at David. Did David have difficulty? Yes. Did David have things happen to him? Oh, listen, he had heartache and he had trouble and trials and anguish. David had all of that. And yet David could say, only goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. This is somewhat of a testimony. You see, folks, today, I want you to hear me out. We must know that sometimes it seems as if disaster on disaster has pursued us. But it is not really so. Do you know that so often goodness and mercy take on disguises? Sometimes they wear the disguise of trouble. Sometimes goodness and mercy takes on the disguise of sorrow. Sometimes goodness and mercy takes on the disguise of heartache and disappointment in life. Folks, goodness and mercy, everything that God allows to us is only goodness and mercy. Oh, it may not seem that. It may seem hurtful. In fact, I believe there are people sitting here or listening to me or watching me right now that you think wrongly that God has just not been good to you. You think wrongly and you believe the lie of the devil that His mercy and His goodness have not followed after you, that God has failed you in some way, that God has forsaken you in some way. But do not believe that lie, because He has promised that only goodness and mercy will follow after us. In fact, have you ever gone through something before and you thought it was going to kill you? You thought, I'm never going to live through this. You thought that the heartache, the hurt, the sorrow, the pain that I'm dealing with, I'll never get over it. But then God brings you through it and you look back upon it and you see that it was really goodness. It was really mercy. It was really God drawing you to Himself. It was God changing your life. It was God molding you and making you into what He created you to be. It's the same promise that we find in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It's the promise that the Bible says all things are for your sakes. What is it? It's goodness and mercy. Oh, it may not look that way. It may be disguised in a different way. But folks, God's goodness, only His goodness and mercy. In fact, throughout the Bible, we find people that maybe didn't think that God's goodness and mercy was following them. One man is found in the book of Genesis, and his name was Jacob. Now, let me tell you something. Jacob had a lot of trials in his life. You know the story in Genesis chapter 42. In just a moment, we'll read a portion of this, but you know what has happened. Jacob had sons, and Jacob loved one son, the Bible says, more than all the others. And that son's name was Joseph. Oh, the Bible says that he made him a coat of many colors. But Joseph's brothers were so jealous of him. You know, the day in which dad sent Joseph to go check up on the older brothers. That's never a good idea, you know. The baby brothers should never go check on the older brothers. They just don't like that. And you know the story, as Jacob came and he was coming, I mean, he was obeying his father. And the Bible says that when Joseph was a way off and the brothers saw him, they said, behold, this dreamer cometh. And they connived a plan to get rid of their brother. Oh, but God had a plan. God knew what He was doing. And you know what those brothers did? They threw him in a pit. Must have been a pretty deep pit because Joseph couldn't get out of it. He cried out to them to deliver them. And they were going to kill Joseph. And then we know that God protected them. And God allowed those boys to sell Joseph to Midianite merchant men. Can you imagine the heartache? You may say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. That wasn't goodness and mercy. His brothers lied about him. His brothers were going to kill him. They sold him. Joseph went to a foreign land named Egypt. There Joseph was mistreated and lied about and put into prison. But I'm going to tell you something. God's goodness and mercy was all in that. Oh, it was disguised as trouble. It was disguised. Goodness and mercy had different clothing on during the time in Joseph's life. But there came a day when Joseph was second in command in Egypt. And Joseph was married. And his two boys, he named them Manasseh and Ephraim. You know what they mean? One means forgetting and one means blessing. You know what Joseph did? Joseph was understanding that God's goodness and mercy had really followed him. Oh, listen, it was disguised as trouble and heartache, but the Lord was there working. But look what Jacob said. You know what? I think some of us have thought the same thing that Jacob said. And look what he says in Genesis chapter 42 and verse number 35. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Now, no, this is when Jacob had sent his boys to Egypt because God had allowed a famine to come. And you know what God was doing? God was bringing Jacob's boys back in to face to face with Joseph, the one they had sold. God was going to bring about a great work. And look what it says in verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, "Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." I want you to underline that little phrase in the Bible, because I think that's how some Christians live. This is just against me. All these things are against me. Those people are against me. My job is against me. My health is against me. Everything is against me. But I want to say to Jacob, Jacob, it wasn't against you. It was for you. It was God's goodness. It was God's mercy. As hurtful as it was that you thought that your son Joseph was dead, it was God's goodness and mercy. It was just disguised. God had a promise to you, and He has the same to us today. I remember years ago talking to a man, and his baby had died when his wife gave birth. And he said to me, he said, "Look, that was never God's plan. That was never God's ideal. God wasn't in that at all." Can I tell you, sadly, that man was saying, "That was against me." Folks, when we say all these things are against us, we are really saying God is against us. We are saying God has failed us and God has not been good to us. His goodness and mercy, only goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. Folks, this ought to fill our hearts with joy and happiness and peace, that no matter what comes to you and me, it comes through the loving hands of a heavenly Father who loves you and me. He is the sovereign God. He knows what is before us, and everything is His goodness. It is His mercy. It is not against you. It is for you. First, we see His promise to us. Secondly, not only do we see His promise to us, but we see His pursuit of us. Would you go back to Psalm chapter number 23? Psalm chapter 23, and I want to show this to you. His pursuit of us. I love this thought. The shepherd gives us goodness and mercy, and He gives us His promise. His promise is to us. I believe the Lord would say to us, "Look, by the way, one day every child of God is going to meet the Lord face to face." And I've heard people say to me, "I've got a lot of questions for the Lord." No, you won't. You won't have any questions. Because you understand perfectly. Right now, we have to live by faith. We have to trust God. We cannot see Him. We have to believe God. We cannot hear Him. But I believe by faith that God is working all things together for our good. And like I said, people said, "Well, I'm going to ask God about this and that." No, you will not do that. But brethren, if the Lord would speak to us, I believe during trials, I believe the Lord would like to say to us, "I know it hurts, but it's my goodness. I know this is so hurtful to you and disappointing, but it's my mercy to you." Listen, when you go to the doctor and maybe the doctor has to do surgery on you, you know what? We may say, "Doctor, don't hurt me. It's going to hurt. Doctor, don't cut me." But it's His goodness. He's helping you. This morning early, I was in our just outside in our shed. It's where I like to, when the weather is nice, to be able to spend time alone with the Lord and to read His Word and pray. And I've never had something like this happen, but the door was open and all of a sudden a little bird flew in there. Just all of a sudden, well, I'll kind of wake you up, you know. I mean, it was going crazy in there, just flying all over the place. And I may sound strange, but I was like, "Hey, buddy, you need to get out of here. This is my place, you know." And he was just going nuts. And I walked out and left the door open and kind of like, "Hey, get out. Well, come on now." You know, he was trying to find a way out. Finally, I opened another door. He didn't go out that door. Finally, I got the broom, all right. And I just kind of moved it over to him to say, hey, come on, buddy, I'm trying to help you. And finally he flew out. You know what? The whole time I'm there, I'm trying to help the little guy. He probably thought, look at this man. He's trying to kill me right now. You know, he's going to serve me for lunch. I'm sure of it. Look at the broom he's got. He's against me. And I think there are times in life that we think, God, you're against me. Lord, do you not love me? Yes, he loves you. Lord, where is your goodness? It's there. Where's your mercy? It is there. He's promised that his mercy endureth forever. His goodness he will never take from you. Folks, the promise is to you and me. This promise is to us that his goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. But secondly, we notice something, not only his promise to us, but his pursuit of us. Now I want you to notice Psalm 23 verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now the word follow there literally means to hunt. Don't you love that thought? God says, my goodness and my mercy are hunting after you. They are pursuing at you. They are tracking you down, per se. God loves us that much that his goodness and his mercy. Folks, today, if you're a child of God, I want you to know something. You are a hunted child of God. God hunts after you with his goodness and his mercy. He hunts after you. He is on track to find you. Years ago, when I was in Tennessee, of course, lots of coon hunting went on there. And in fact, most of the hunting I had done was coon hunting and squirrel hunting and hunting that me and my friends did in the woods that we won't talk about, you know, and with different feline animals, things like that, all right? But I'm just kidding you, all right? I've never hurt a cat on my own, never, all right? And I want you to know that. But let me say this to you. You know, when I was a kid, I remember going coon hunting, going out late at night. Of course, I liked that. And boy, those coons, boy, they'd get on that scent. Those coon dogs would get on that scent of that coon. I mean, I'm going to tell you something, they could track that. There they were, I mean, going all over those woods and their nose to the ground. And boy, they were tracking that coon. And sure enough, we'd come to the tree and there was the coon, you know. I remember one time, the first time I went coon hunting and I was young. And boy, those dogs tracked what we thought was a coon. And they tracked it. It was up in the tree. They shined a light up there. They said, Aaron, you can shoot it out of there. Boy, they gave me that shotgun. Like to killed me, you know, knocked me over. I shot up in there. That thing came falling to the ground. It was no greasy possum up in there, you know. And wasn't no coon. I remember the other time going coon hunting. And I shot it out of the tree, but it wasn't dead. It, boy, hit that ground. I'm going to tell you something. Those coons are mean. Those dogs attacked that. Man, they were going all over the place, rolling all over the hills, fighting one another. I want you to know something. Those coon dogs, they scent a coon. They're going to find it. They're going to track it down. But there's something else that God tracks down in my life and in your life. He pursues us with his goodness and his mercy. In fact, folks, has there been times when you've gotten away from the Lord? Well, I want you to know something. His goodness and his mercy still hunts after you. His goodness and his mercy pursues you and me. In fact, sometimes we stumble in our Christian life. But in his goodness and his mercy, he picks us back up and he sets us back up on our feet. Because, folks, he pursues us with his goodness and his mercy. You know, folks, God is not a God that we have to beg him to do good for us. Lord, please do good for me and do good for my family and do good for our church. That is not how God is. God is already pursuing you and me. My pastor used to say years ago that God is always previous. You know what that means? Listen, folks, God is already working in your life now for something you will need in the future. God is already preparing something now that you will need next week or next month or next year. He is always previous in your life. God is never late. God never is taken by surprise. And folks, his goodness and his mercy pursues you and me. In fact, can I show you something about the goodness of God? Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2. Oh, folks, what a promise. To know that his goodness and mercy are following after us. As surely as the sun rises and sets, God has promised to pursue us with His goodness and mercy all the days of our life. As you're turning to Romans chapter number 2, I want you to think about something. Think of David. David's the one who wrote, "Surely goodness, only goodness, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Do you have something else that is following you today? You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" For some people, it's their past that follows them all the days of their life. Or at least they don't leave the past in the past. Living in the past is like driving down the road looking in the rearview mirror. You will crash soon. You will not make it. Let's think about David just for a moment. Do you think that he had some things in the past that troubled him? Oh, I think so. Do you think that David could look in the past and David could see adultery? He could see murder. He could see pride. He could see all kinds of sin in the past. And if David was not careful, David could look back and say, regret. Regret is following me all the days of my life. Some people live with regret. If I'd only done this, if I only hadn't done that, if I only hadn't gone to that place, if I only hadn't done that, and that follows them all the days of their life. But David did not do that. David says, "When I look, goodness and mercy are following me." Not regret. Not, listen, a life of just living in sorrow over what I have done in the past. Listen, it is under the blood of Jesus Christ. It is buried in the depths of the deepest sea. We must leave it with God. But how many people live like that? Listen, do you look back in the past and see only the bad? Do you see only the regret? Folks, listen, all of us have regrets. All of us have things that we wish we could go back. Have you ever thought before, "I wish time travel was possible and I could go back and change some things in my past"? But you cannot, and I cannot. And David could not, but David, by faith, he took God at His word. And David says, surely goodness and mercy, they will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Not my past sin. Not my past failures and my past regret. Not the past hurt. But goodness and mercy. Folks, God's goodness does something for you and me. In fact, when we think about the prodigal son, do you remember he left home? And the prodigal son, when he thought about the goodness of his father, guess what he did? It caused him to turn back home. The goodness of his father. And folks, it was mercy who ran to him and met him and fell on his face and kissed him and provided rings and a robe and a fatted calf for him. That was mercy. But it was goodness that brought him back. In fact, Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4 tells us this. Notice what it says. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering?" Think of that. That's all that our God, the riches of His goodness, the riches of His forbearance, the riches of His longsuffering to you and me, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do you know what God does? God pursues us with His goodness because it leads us to repentance. Have you ever had a time in life? I've seen it. I've seen people maybe get great answers to prayer. God brings about a great victory. And guess what happens to them? They're back in church. They're back serving the Lord. They want to live for God. They want to do something for the Lord. Why? Because the goodness of God has led them to repentance. It pursued them. It hunted after them until it found them. Listen, folks, we have a God in heaven who loves you and me with an everlasting love. A love, listen, folks, there was never a time when God started loving you, and there will never be a time when God stops loving you. His love is for eternal. His love to you and me. And that God pursues us with His goodness and with His mercy. Number 3, the last thing that we noticed this morning. Not only His promise to us, His pursuit of us. But number 3, His provision for us. Would you go back to Psalm chapter 23? And I want to show you this in closing. Psalm chapter 23. Folks, I do not know how long I have to live. I hope it's for many, many years. I'd like to serve the Lord for many years. But God is the one who knows how many days are allotted to me. In fact, did you know that every one of us, you have a certain number of days given to you by God? The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die. You have an appointed number of days on earth. I believe that. But God does know the number of our days. And God has already appointed His goodness and His mercy to provide everything you need for every day that you live here on earth. God has already provided for it. I recognize my wife who she provides for our meals. You know what she does? Now, she doesn't do like I do, which I'm glad because it would be bad. My wife, she knows what she's going to make every single day. And she makes a list. This is what I need at the grocery store this week so that she can provide. You know how I go grocery shopping? I go through every aisle. If it looks good, I throw it in the cart, you know. That's a fun way. It's not very smart, but it's fun to do, you know. And when we go on vacation, I get to do the grocery shopping. Kids say, Dad, can we have that? Throw it in the cart, all right? Just put it in there. Do we need it? I don't care. We're going to buy it, you know. And all the bad stuff, you know, the stuff high in calorie and low in nutrition, that's good, all right, you know. But anyway, you know, it's just funny. But I see my wife, man, she studies that out. She is providing. She is already making provision for the days to come. But folks, our great shepherd, I'm so grateful to know this. That there is nothing that I or you will encounter next week that He has not already provided for. He's already made provision for it. And listen, next month, the trials and the heartache, He's already provided for it. He already knows that it's going to happen. And He's provided goodness and His mercy is already there. Look what He says, Psalm 23, once again. The Bible says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, notice this, all the days of my life. I love the thought that God knows how many days of my life remain. He knows every day's need. He knows every day's temptations. He knows every day's sorrow. He pledges Himself and promises Himself to you and me that as the day, so shall thy strength be. What that means is God says, I will give you daily strength for daily needs. I will give you daily strength for daily temptations. I will give you daily encouragement for every day that you need that special encouragement. Listen, God knows what we have need of before we even ask Him. Oh, folks, God has provided this for us. Now, let me say this in closing. Goodness. What is goodness? Let's talk about that. Goodness is God's provision of the blessings we do not deserve. Now think about your family. We don't deserve our families, but it's His goodness. What about your health? What about the roof over your head? What about the food that is in your house? And what about your friends? What about a child's touch? Think of every precious thing that God has ever done for you. And I'm going to tell you something. That is His goodness. It's His goodness. You know something? It's His goodness to speak to us through His Word. It's His goodness to give us a wonderful place to be able to worship and serve God. Listen, are we forgetting His goodness day by day? We don't see His goodness. We're like Jacob that says, all these things are against me. We're failing to see the goodness of God. But by faith, look for His hand. Look for His goodness. Look for the signs everywhere of God's goodness. But what about His mercy? Mercy is God's withholding of the punishment that we really do deserve. Folks, I want you to know something today. If you are here And if you've ever sinned a day in your life, and that means every person that's ever lived a day on this earth, listen, we deserve, because of our sin, we deserve to die and spend eternity in a place called hell. What I deserve today is not to be a child of God. I do not deserve today to have a home in heaven. I do not deserve today to be able to call into my Heavenly Father. What I deserve is to spend eternity in a place called hell for all of eternity. That's what I deserve. But God in His mercy has saved me. Listen, are you thankful for His mercy today? His mercy. Listen, goodness meets all my needs, but mercy forgives all my faults. Goodness has to do with the bounty of God, but mercy has to do with the love of God. Oh, folks, today, His goodness and His mercy are all the days of our lives. There will never be a day, never be a moment that you are devoid, that you are lacking of God's goodness and His mercy. You know something? Just like that little bird that flew in my shed today. You know something? I was trying to help the little thing. Yeah, I had to get a broom out, you know, not to kill it, not to harm it, but to direct it, to guide it. Here, go. There's the door. Go out. You can't live in here. This is not good for you in here. Leave here. And folks, sometimes in life, God has to take His heavenly broom. God has to do some things in our lives that seem so hurtful and harmful, but they are not. Because His love for you, His goodness and His mercy is following you. It's pursuing you. It's a promise to us today. And it's to pursue, but it's to provide for us. There might be things you're going through right now that you think, where is goodness? Where is mercy? But it's there. It's just disguised. It's taken on a different face because God is at work. He's promised to you. And brethren, today, if you're sitting here, I don't know what you're going through in your life. I know every time I get up to preach, there are so many things going on in the lives of people. Heartache. Things that people think, I'm not going to make it to this service. I'm going to just weep. I don't know what the future holds. Listen, I cannot really help you, but I can say this to you. There is a God in heaven who knows every detail of your life. And that God is providing goodness and mercy all the days of your life. Now let me say this. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, then I want you to know something today. God is pursuing you. He is pursuing you to save you. You know something? We don't seek after God. God seeks after us. In fact, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Folks, today God is the one who pursues us. He hunts us down to save us from our sin, to deliver us from a life of eternity in a place called hell. And folks, I want you to know something. God in His love gave His only begotten Son. Jesus, who went to the cross and bled and died for you, paid for every sin that you have committed or ever will commit. And the Bible says that Jesus shed His blood on the cross. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb and He rose again the third day. And I want you to know something. He paid in full the price for our sin debt. You cannot pay it. You can go to church every day of your life. You can be baptized. You can do good deeds. But it will never pay for one sin. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We must accept it by faith. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, if you're not a child of God, listen, let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But maybe you're here today and you kind of got the attitude, it's all against me. My family's against me. My job's against me. The people in the grocery store are against me. Everything is against me. His goodness and His mercy is pursuing you. He's promised you this promise, and He will provide what you need for today and what you need for the days to come. The shepherd gives us His goodness and His mercy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today. We come to you today because we need you. We come to you today because we praise you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, may we look for the evidences of your goodness and mercy because we will find them. Lord, may we trust your word today and accept it by faith. And Father, I pray for anyone that is here without Jesus, that today they would put their faith and trust in you. And God, I pray for Christians who are discouraged, Christians who speak as Jacob spoke and say, all things are against me. May they know that, Lord, you are for them. And you said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question today. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I am a Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior. And Pastor, I know that if I died today, I know that I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord. As a testimony, would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. I know that I'm a Christian. I know that. Thank you. You may put your hands down. No one is looking, and I will not embarrass you. I make you that promise. But how many would say today, Pastor, would you pray for me? I do not know where I would go if I died today. Just pray for me. That's all I want to do. Would you let me pray for you? No one is looking. I'll not embarrass you. Would you say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me, preacher. Please pray for me. Now, child of God, can I ask you a question? How many would say, Pastor, I've struggled. I've struggled with thinking that all these things are against me. When God has dealt with me this morning and shown me that His goodness and mercy is pursuing me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? And I'd like to have a word of prayer. And then the piano is going to begin to play, and Brother Stevenson is going to lead us in a song. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy that pursues us day by day. Thank you for your provision. Lord, you've given us what we need day by day in your goodness and your mercy. Lord, thank you to know that that encompasses everything we will need in life, your goodness and your mercy. Lord, bless today. Lord, I pray for anyone that's without Christ, that they would leave their seat in just a moment and come to this altar. And let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Bless this altar. Invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll go to hymn number 224. Day by day and with each passing moment. If God has spoken to you, would you leave your seat and come? And we'd like to help you here. If you're without Christ, leave your seat and come. Just meet me here and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Hymn number 224.
By day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto day what he deems best, loving me, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each heart.
Thank the Lord. I want to thank for being here today. And I trust you can be here tonight for our evening service at 6 p.m. And we have the deacon's meeting and choir practice at 5 p.m. And we trust that you can be here. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out. And if you're visiting specifically, go through the middle door so we can thank you for coming. And may God help us and bring us back tonight. Brother Stevens, would you come and close us in word of prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us, and thank you for your mercy, your love, your grace. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that you are there for us. And whatever may come upon our path, Lord, I pray that we would look to you and we would trust you and realize that you still are there for us every day. Lord, I pray that we would share this hope with others that are around us who are discouraged, who are wanting to give up. Lord, thank you for this message. Be with us as we go out. Give us safety on the road. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.